On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Caps start the new year off on the wrong foot, John Carlson becomes a real American hero, and Brendan Sheridan from CapsHill.com joins us to tell us all about his love for the Caps and his website. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. Happy New Year. Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. We talk anything and everything Washington Capitals, hockey, NHL, anything about the farm leagues going on with the Hershey Bears and the Reading Royals. Joining me, as always, via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are your holidays? It's been a few weeks. We're both finally back. We're in the driver's seat. So how were the holidays for you? Did they treat you well?
Yeah, I was out of the country for about a week, and it certainly was a lot warmer than it is right now. So that was nice, but it was good. How was everything going on back home?
You know, everything was good. Good for me for the holidays. The actual holidays were fun. The days in between the holidays weren't so good. I'm still getting over a little bit of sickness. I can't kick any of this stuff going on. It feels as if every time I watch a Capitals game, I get a little sicker and sicker because these guys just can't score at all. I started off the holiday season by going to see the Hershey Bears and Joel Reklich bobble fist night, and he got benched on his bobble fist night, so that wasn't a good start to that. I went to go see the Washington Capitals against the Anaheim Ducks on the 23rd. Bruce Boudreau's, you know, big triumphant return, and the Capitals come out swinging. They look great first period, and then the next two periods, and nothing. They lose that game. So definitely not a good holiday season for Capital fans or the Washington Capitals. So let's just start off this episode and let's just talk about where the Capitals are right now. We're pretty much in mid-season right now, and the Capitals have already been through 40 or so games. I'm a little worried for this team right now because turns out they're not doing very well. They've lost their last few games against teams that you think they would have a little bit of an easier time with. They don't seem to be gelling with each other. What's going on with the Capitals right now? I'm a little worried about where they're going to go from here on until the end of the season.
Well, since we last talked about 3 weeks ago, the Caps went 2-6, which is not so great. And actually, since December 1st, they have lost 9 of 14 games. That's not so good. That's actually a pretty bad record. So December certainly didn't treat them very well, and January has also not started off all that great. I think, you know, the Oates switched up the lines recently, which I think helped out a little bit in their most recent game. But I think, you know, they're, what, a game or two past the midway point of the season. I think one game past the midway point of the season. And, you know, this team should not be still fighting to find an identity. Oh, they've, you know, had, what, almost a full year in Oates' system. They've had an off-season, a full off-season in Oates' system. There shouldn't be a problem where these guys are still not sure exactly who they are. And this is a problem. And this is a situation that they should have rectified, and some of this definitely comes back on the coaching staff. You know, these guys come out after, you know, potentially a good first period or a good second period, and then they crap it up in the second or the third, and, you know, they let leads get away. If you go and you look at the Carolina game, it looked like they had that one going. Or are you talking about the Anaheim game where they had that one? You know, you would have thought they would have had that one wrapped up, and then they choke away these leads. It's almost the same thing when they score a goal and give up a goal in, you know, a minute or two or 2.5 minutes later, something like that. So, you know, this is a problem that the coaching staff needs to figure out, because if it's a motivation thing, I mean, that's not only severely disappointing, but that's a problem that you have to motivate these professional hockey players. These guys get to play a game for a living. The fact that they need to be motivated, like, is frightening. So this comes back on the coaching staff. This comes back on Oates and Johansson and Blaine Forsythe or whatever his name is. You know, this is a problem, and it's a situation where switching out the lines helped a little bit, but, you know, I question as to whether this roster is really built correctly, and if they have enough guys to be able to play on the top six, and if they have enough guys, you know, enough of the sort of correct guys they need to play on the bottom six, and they've got guys who are getting overpaid. So this is a situation where McPhee, you know, he has an opportunity to go out and make a trade and move a guy or two. You know, there's certainly a couple of guys that have asked to be moved. And I was very surprised what they had, you know, all this time off, and what they had a game Saturday against Minnesota, and then nothing until tomorrow against Tampa Bay. You would have thought McPhee could have used that opportunity to make a trade, but he did, and they're sticking with what they've got right now, and I question as to whether what they've got is good enough.
Well, you see, I think everybody that's on the Capitals are great players. I think that we have a great team. There's a lot of talented guys there. I don't think, like you said, they're being utilized the way they should be. I'm not somebody who's going to tell a coach how to coach their team. I am not a hockey coach. I am nowhere near a professional sports coach in any sport in any way. So I'm not going to tell them how to do their job. But there is something wrong here. I'm okay with saying that because that's very obvious, okay? This team, like you said, it sucks that they need to be motivated because they are playing a game for a living. But that's one of the reasons why Bruce Boudreau was ushered out of Washington. You're not going to get rid of your star like Ovechkin or something like that if he's not doing well with the coach. You're going to get rid of the coach doing that. But these guys have always been the kind of team that gets bummed out, that turns emo or whatever if they lose or if they get to a certain point in a game and they're like, oh, well, we're just going to call this one. We're kind of done with this one. They've never been a team that is able to get – they don't get mad. They don't get outshot or anything like that and go, we're going to come back. We're going to win this one. You know, this is our house. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. They're the guys that are always looking for the pretty goals. They're the guys that want some flash. They want to be fancy. And that's not always how you win games. It's nice if you can, but you got to get down and dirty as well. I think the way this team is structured right now is we have an amazing amount of talent, a great pool of talent, but at the same time, it's guys that want those fancy goals. You don't have like the guys. You've brought this up in many past episodes where you need a guy like Mike Knuble who's going to get up in the goalie's face and get those dirty goals. I don't think we have anyone on this team that wants to do that. We definitely have the guys that can be the all-time scoring leaders like Ovechkin. We've got the powerhouses that can get in people's faces, push people around and mess with them like Volpatti and Wilson. And we've got great defensemen. We've got offensive defensemen. But this is not – this team worries me because it seems like it's the type of team that doesn't know where to go. After they get a lead, they kind of think they're one and done. The coaching staff is kind of letting me down right now given to the fact that so many people have asked for trades. I think that's even a sign of this coaching staff not knowing what to do with guys. We brought this up last year, bringing in a guy like Martin Erat. I was confused then. I'm still confused now why he's here. He's asked for a trade. You've got Orlov, who's mad that he's taken all these road trips and then never getting ice time. He's finally on the ice. I think he's showing something at least because he's still on the ice with the Capitals, but he asked for a trade in November. And you've got Michael Neuwirth, who you just gave a new contract to, and you're giving him what was it, $5 million a year? And you got him as a healthy scratch, and you got three goalies on here. This coaching staff, it seems to me like they don't even know who their team is and who they want on this team. They're constantly switching out guys from the AHL, bringing them up to the NHL when, you know, because guys like Jack Hillen and everything are hurt. If you even remember who Jack Hillen is, because he hasn't played many games as a Capital. But this coaching staff and even the management guys, I don't think they know who this team is. I don't think they know who they even want this team to be. With somebody, even though it didn't really work out because Ovechkin's not this type of guy, but with Dale Hunter, you knew what kind of team he wanted. He wanted a defensive team. He wanted defense to be the focus of the team. And of course, it's not going to work with a guy like Ovechkin. With Adam Oates, you can tell he's working well with Ovechkin, but besides that, I don't know where else he's shining because it doesn't seem like this team has an identity. It seems like Oates and Ovechkin are doing well together. Ovechkin's happy with everything that's going, but everybody else is just kind of like they don't know what their roles are.
just for clarification's sake, real quick, the Neuwirth contract is 2.5 a year for, so it's $5 million total over 2 years. But they did just give him a new deal, and if, I mean, to go into the guys that are asking to be traded, I understand why they're upset with the lack of playing time. But you know, maybe, just maybe, instead of complaining about ice time, you bust your ass in practice and show these guys that they're making a mistake not playing you. I don't like that these guys. Now, some of it was their agents come out, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to do what's best for their players, and to have them play and get them the most money, which in the end get the agents the most money. So I understand why the agents would be doing that. But instead of complaining about the fact that you're not playing, you know, bust your ass in practice and force the team to put you in. Now, if you're playing great in practice and not playing you, okay, fine. Maybe you say something behind the scenes. Don't let it get out and make a big deal out of it, because it, you know, makes it a little harder to get you traded in the end. Now, Orlov, it looks like he has – I don't know if he ever publicly came out and said he wanted to be traded, but it looks like he's actually pulled that back. He's having a good time now in D.C., and I'd love having him out there. And it seems like Oates is definitely a fan of Orlov and likes what he's doing. And let's not forget that Orlov was actually supposed to be recalled back in – what was it, November? And then he got pink eye. Now, I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes in Hershey, but he got himself some pink eye, and that's why he didn't get recalled earlier on. So when his agent came out and was saying, well, Adam doesn't like how he plays, no. Your client just happened to get, I don't know, like a fart on his pillow, or however you get pink eye, and, you know, like they were saying, it knocked up.
You got pink eye. Are you giving each other butterfly kisses or something?
Ha ha ha, very funny. That's not how you get pink eye. You get it from poo particles making their way into your ocular cavities.
Hey, Ben.
Yo.
How's it going? I farted on Jason's pillow as a practical joke. He farted on Jonah's thinking it was mine, and then eventually pink-eyed my pillow. Not proud of any of this.
So I don't know what happened there, but he's up there now. He's playing great, and I think it's working out for him in the end. So I don't see Orlov going anywhere. I was surprised that either Erat or Neuwirth weren't traded over the past couple of days, but it didn't happen. But I do think both of these guys are gone, you know, if not now, at the trade deadline or at the end of the season. But the fact that the Caps – let's go into the Caps' three goalies real quick. I have no clue as to why all three of these guys are on the roster right now. Now, I know they really like what they see in Philip Grubauer. I don't think they're necessarily showcasing him, but I think that Oates is the kind of guy that's going to go with a hot hand. And it looks like Grubauer is that guy at the moment. I think he played great for the most part while he's been playing. Now, if you go, there's an article that was put out on, I want to say Jaber's Rink, that about why Holtby may be struggling. And that part of the reason may be that Holtby is playing deeper in the net than he's accustomed to. And now there's going to be some growing pains there and some adjustments that need to be made. And that may be why he's struggling. That goalie coach, Ole Kolzig, wants him to play deeper in the net because of the game now is a lot more, what do they say, east to west. It's a lot more side to side. And then it's easier for teams to get the goalie out of position if they're farther out of the net. If you sit deeper in the net, you make it, you know, it's a lot less room to shoot because the goalie does less, I guess, has less room to move side to side if they're deep in the net. So I think right now there's some adjustments being made for Holtby. Some of it's mental, some of it's his game. And I think, you know, once he comes out of it, we could see the Holtby of old. But I think Grubauer's doing great right now. The problem I have is if Holtby's going to start playing more and more, there's no point in having Grubauer sit on the bench because he needs to continue his development by playing games. He needs to go back to Hershey, and Neuwirth needs to be traded, and you bring in a veteran backup in some trade somewhere down the line, you know, when you deal Neuwirth. But right now, it doesn't make sense to me. And you have a $2.5 million cap hit just sitting up in the rafters, you know, so to speak, every night. Now, according to CapGeek.com, the Capitals have the least amount of cap space amongst teams in the NHL. That's a problem when it comes to the trading deadline. Now, there's a couple of guys that could be moved out. You move out, you know, Erat, there's $4.5 million more to move, and that you move out Neuwirth, there's $2.5. That gives you a total of $7 million just suddenly on your books that you have to play around with a little bit. So that's a lot of, you know, money you can spend on a guy to bring in at the deadline or in the offseason. But I think that right now this team needs to make a trade, and I think the biggest thing is to go out and get top six winger that will crash the net. Now, you had mentioned in the past about needing a new Mike Knuble type of guy. And I think this is what the team needs. This is exactly what they need. If you go and you look at the game against Minnesota, how many of their goals were scored because someone put their big butt right in front of the goalie and made it very hard for the Caps goaltender to see the puck? The Caps don't do that. They don't have enough times where a guy is parked in front of the goalie and making life difficult for the guy. You know, you don't want to give him all these open looks. If you go back and look at the game they lost against Buffalo, yeah, Ryan Miller looked great, but he could see the puck every freaking time that the Caps took a shot. A lot of shots were from the outside. No one was making life hard for Miller. He had perfect vision on almost every single shot because no one made life difficult for him. That's what Knuble did great. He got in front of the goalie, and he made his life a living hell because he blocked his vision all the time. The Caps don't do that enough. I think McPhee needs to go out and find a way to pick up a top six winger that you can plug in on that first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom that will put his butt in front of the goalie and make life difficult for the guy. I think this is exactly what the Penguins did years ago when they went out and got Chris Kunitz and put him with Crosby, because Kunitz was willing to crash it out a little bit and put the puck in the net. This is what the Capitals need. They need to go out and find a guy. You know, you don't want to go. I mean, you can go out and find an old guy, but then you're going to be right back where you were in a couple of years, just like they were with Knubel. You need to go out and you can find a younger guy that can grow with Ovechkin and Backstrom. Because while Johansson is very talented, and while he seems to be snake bit all the time with being able to score goals, unless apparently he parks himself in front of the net, which is kind of rare. While it may look good on paper because it's very flashy, it's not NHL 14. You're not playing a video game. You need a guy who's going to crash the net. Johansson's not that guy. So I think they should go out and acquire a top six winger to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. We definitely need somebody like that. The Capitals need somebody there that will get into that goalie's face. That Minnesota game, I mean, there's a slow motion shot of one of their goals, and Holtby is completely, you know, almost not even covering any of the net because he's trying to peer around one of the Minnesota Wild guys to see where this puck is or who's got it or whatever. I mean, what was the final score on that game? It was, five to three
Minnesota.
And they only had 11 shots on that entire game.
Oh God. I totally forgot about that until you just mentioned how horrible that is.
So, I mean, the way they were doing it got it done. And the Capitals have always been a team that people have complained about not shooting enough. So if you're not going to shoot very often, then this is how you're going to do it. This is how you're going to get goals if that's the way it's going to work for you guys. The goalie situation here, it's definitely something that I'm concerned about. I understand Grubauer staying up here because the same thing happened, you know, in 2010 against the Capitals. You had a guy like Halak, and he was the hot hand, and you just kept him in, and you just kept him rolling. And that's what Oates wants to do. But I think it was on Capitals Outsider, I read an article that I totally agreed with. When you're a team that's struggling right now midway through the season, and you have back-to-back games on a weekend or whatever, why not trade out a goalie a night or two? Because you're not fighting in the playoffs. You know, you don't need to go for that hot hand. You don't have to win every single game back-to-back nights like you have to do in the playoffs, you know, best of seven. You just need to get enough points to get into the playoffs at this point. So why not give a game to Holtby if he's struggling right now? Or even give a game to Neuwirth, who wants to play. I mean, we haven't seen Neuwirth play in I guess it's months at this point since he got hurt. So Grubauer being here, yes, I like his style of play. I like what he's doing. He's still definitely got some rookie rust that a lot of people aren't talking about. If you notice, he does get misplaced in front of the net a lot. You can kind of see that he loses his bearings and doesn't realize where he is many times, leaving a giant hole behind him that people can score on. So that's definitely something I see that he has to work on. But I thought he was staying here because Neuwirth, I figured, was gone. I figured they were keeping Grubauer here just because Neuwirth, you know, already had, you know, a postage stamp on his back and he was going to get out of town. But he's still here. And you know, they're going to have to decide what to do with him. Maybe it's just the fact that nobody else in the NHL needs a goalie right now. Maybe that's the only reason why he is still here. I don't know. But, yeah, the goalie situation is just kind of crazy in Washington. I hope it gets remedied soon. And I want to see Holtby in goal more. He did not look good in Minnesota. Not at all, but I think he's the type of guy who plays with a lot of emotion as well, besides somebody who is very technical, and I think he's freaked himself out. I think he's so worried about letting people down, letting himself down, that he's psyching himself up, and he's definitely somebody who needs to control that kind of emotion. But where we go from here for the goalies, I have no idea, but I still think three is way too many for this team, and I hope that Adam Oates kind of makes a decision of where to put Grubauer soon.
I mean, at one point I was sort of thinking that maybe Grubauer was sort of being showcased, and then, you know, maybe that was the case, but if that's the case, and then do you really want to move him considering how, not poor, but just the lack of consistency that you're getting from Holtby right now? So there's certainly, you know, there's a reason they're hanging on to Grubauer, and, you know, it could just be in the end the fact that he's playing the best right now and they're going to go with the hot hand. I mean, they're still fighting even though the Metropolitan Division isn't exactly the toughest division in hockey, you know, they're still fighting for an opportunity to be in the playoffs, and they're currently sitting at third. You know, but they're only at the moment, according to the schedule, only, you know, they're 2 points behind the Flyers and about a million points behind the Penguins. So, you know, they still have that opportunity, but they need to play the best hand going forward. And if it ends up being Grubauer, then, I mean, it's not a bad problem to have, but it does give them the opportunity to move out a guy. And I think in the end, that's going to be Michael Norberth, because he's making the most money out of their three goalies, and he's the one sitting up in the press box.
Yeah, that's insane. That I can't believe that. You're gonna, even last season, oh, Holtby's our number one guy, and then you give Norberth even more money than Holtby. That is just mind blowing to me.
Well, I mean, some of that could be that they weren't necessarily convinced with Holtby. They were wondering if maybe, you know, in the end, he wouldn't be the guy. Because for every goalie that comes out and is a star, for every, you know, Brodeur or Lundqvist, there's always guys like Jim Carrey or, you know, Steve Mason that aren't necessarily, you know, they come out and they're good their first couple of years, and then they just crap out and flame out. And
it's kind of like the real Jim Carrey with his movies, because he was really funny with Ace Ventura, and then the Grinch came out, and you're like, you know what, we're done here.
Ventura, Pet Detective. How are you this afternoon? All righty then. Excuse me. Your balls are showing. Bumblebee Tuna?
It still doesn't make sense. They have a lot of interesting salary cap issues that they're going to go into. And I mean, with the cap potentially going up to, what was it, 70 or 71 million next season, something like that, you know, they have the opportunity to move a couple of guys out. You know, you can move out. We already talked about Neuwirth and Erad. If you want to move out someone like a, you know, like a John Erskine, I know you're not a fan of that one potential move, but I think it can make a lot of sense in the end. You know, you potentially have a lot of money to bring in a couple of really talented guys. It gives you the opportunity to hang on to Grabowski, and then you'll have you know, super prospect Evgeny Kuznetsov coming over, and then, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but with what's his, Burakovsky, something like that, he showed really well at the World Juniors, and so you never know if this guy's going to come into camp next season and suddenly look like the real dealer. You know, so they have these opportunities, but they need to make a couple of moves, and if they want to have an opportunity to play in the playoffs this year, they're going to have to do something, because right now this team is certainly struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. We have half a season to go to get to that postseason. Hopefully the Capitals are in the postseason. I'm a little worried with the way they are stacked up right now, but we'll see what happens down the road. What else should we talk about in Caps world?
Well, we have a couple of transaction news. Alexander Urbom, whom the Caps acquired on waivers from the New Jersey Devils earlier this season, was placed on waivers by the Capitals. Now, he was picked up by the New Jersey Devils. All right. So it looks like he's making his way back to the Prudential Center, and he'll be back with them. I would like to thank Urbom for his contributions, even though there really weren't any. You know, he played okay, but that wasn't really a shot at him so much as the fact that it didn't make sense to me at the time, and it doesn't make sense to keep him around. No offense to the guy, but, you know, it just, you know, the Caps have a decent amount of young defensive prospects, and they just weren't going to play Urbom right now, and he started to become a defensive liability as he continued to play, and that's why he spent the last couple of weeks in the press box. And so he's back in the New Jersey Devils. And then for whatever reason, the Caps recalled Connor Carrick today, although I'm not sure if he's actually going to see any ice time. Is there an injury that I completely missed?
Not that I know of. I
don't know where he's going to play, because if you have Carlson and Alsner, you have Green and Orlov, and then you have the strangest pairing that I can think of in Erskine and Alexi, you know, I don't really know why you recall him if you're not going to play him. So, you know, potentially someone else is going to be sitting up in the press box. Maybe Oates is not, or Cal Johansson are not too happy with somebody. But, you know, they recalled Connor Carrick, and maybe we'll see him get a few games. Maybe it's a reward because he was playing, you know, if he was playing well in Hershey and at the World Juniors, even though Team USA crapped out of that one. But, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. They haven't released any information necessarily who's playing, whether it's, you know, goaltenders, defensemen, and stuff like that. So that's really all the transaction news. And I think we have some congrats to give out to Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and John Carlson.
Woo!
Who were named to their respective countries' Olympic teams. That's Ovechkin with Team Russia, Backstrom with the Swedish Olympic team, and Carlson with, of course, Team USA. That was actually pretty cool. I don't know if you heard the interview that he gave with DC101's Ellie in the Morning. He was actually talking to him and was talking about how he found out. And he was actually watching the game. He didn't know ahead of time that he had actually made the team. And so when they announced his hometown before, like, announcing it was him, he went, wait, who else is playing in the NHL for my hometown? town. Like, he didn't realize it was him until the guy spun around, and then he got very excited and got a lot of text messages and phone calls from friends. And apparently at the next practice they went to, when he stepped on the ice, the players all gave him a nice round of applause, or a stick tap, you know. And so I'm sure that was very exciting for him. I want to say there's a video out there somewhere of that, but I haven't been able to find it.
It's on the Monumental Network. You can definitely find that video.
Is that where it is? Okay, yeah. I got to go find that, because I saw it at one point, and I didn't have the opportunity to actually watch it. I wanted to go back and couldn't find it. But that's definitely pretty cool for him, and I'm very excited to see. The thing is, though, after all this big deal is being made about it, he may not actually see any ice time. And U.S. team is, you know, it's not the Florida Panthers. They actually have a pretty talented team. So if he wants to actually be out there tonight, he's going to have to bust his you-know-what to get out there and actually be able to wear those ugly USA sweaters.
He's still beating up on the USA sweaters.
They suck. They're so bad. It's like, I don't understand. I can't remember what it was. And there was like someone I can't remember the guy's name at the moment, but someone had mentioned Ted Starkey, I believe, back when they revealed the jerseys. He had mentioned why, but it wasn't very clear. But something – it has something to do with the Olympics and like – I know
the shield, the USA shield. I'm not a giant fan of that, but when I read into it, like, that was what the USA used in like the 1920 Olympics.
Oh, fuck, I don't care. Terrible.
The stars on the shoulders, they don't bother me too much. The fake laces.
That's okay.
The fake laces, yes, terrible. Just take them and I don't know why Nike is so obsessed with using that plastic stuff. Like, they put it on all the NFL jerseys, you know, around the neck, and now they're putting stars and leaves on Canada and everything like that. I don't know why they're obsessed with that. The all blue jerseys, though, I am 60% okay with those. The white ones,
those are okay.
The white ones, don't like the white ones.
Horrendous.
The third Canada jersey, though, that is just the worst jersey I've ever seen. It just says Canada and it's black and it's got just a red stripe. I mean, it looks like a cigarette packet. It looks like Marlboro, and it has a red stripe around the arm, so they kind of look like they're also for Nazi Germany. But we're
the Nazi armband. This show, yeah, that's horrible. And this show definitely took an awkward turn.
Yeah, who would have known that Nazis would have come up on this episode?
I don't know. But yeah, this just I just saw the one you're talking about. Just like, you got to think, like, the players probably don't care too much, but when they go into the locker room and see that, you've got to think they almost do a double take, and they're like, "Wait, really?"
Yeah. I will say, watching the Winter Classic, I couldn't wait to see who was making the team. And John Carlson got announced pretty quickly. I think he was like the fourth guy they announced. And so I was kind of jumping up and down. I was very happy that he was able to come out and actually make the team. But one guy we got to talk about not making this team is Capitals, you know, superstar prospect Evgeny Kuznetsov, who stayed over in Russia. He said, "I was staying over here for two more years, so I had a chance to make Team Russia for the Olympics," and he gets left off. I mean, what does this say about Team Russia? What does this say about him? Was the fact that he stayed over there all for naught now? Like, did he? I think right now he may even still be injured, so that could still be one of the reasons why he didn't make the team. First and foremost, it may not be whether or not he's still talented or not, but has his star kind of fallen with Russia and with everybody else in the world? Is he still this hotshot prospect that everybody thought he was?
No, I mean, I still think this kid is definitely a star prospect. I know he didn't get invited to that other tournament a little while back, and he's had some injuries, and apparently his play, you know, he's had some highlight reel moments, but his play hasn't been as good as it was in the past, you know, for this season over in the KHL. And, you know, right now I think the biggest thing for him is to stay healthy and to just do what he can to make sure that he's playing in the NHL later this year and, you know, hopefully for the rest of his hockey career. Because this kid, I really do think he has a real talent and has the opportunity to come over here and play it as a top six forward as early as the end of this season or even next season. I mean, this kid has got a ton of talent, but apparently he's made out of the same stuff that Mike Green is made out of, because both of them are apparently made out of broken glass. Because anytime, if you look at him funny, this kid apparently gets hurt. But he's got a ton of talent, and, you know, I was out on Twitter, and I'm blanking on who it was, but someone was saying, you know, they wonder how good Kuznetsov would be had he come over to the NHL 2 years ago instead of staying in Russia. And it really is an interesting question, because as much as the KHL wants to make a big deal out of how good their league is, their top players, aside from like Kovalchuk, are NHL rejects. These are guys that couldn't make it in the NHL or were, you know, third line, fourth line guys in the NHL, and then they go out and they're these huge point getters and star players in the KHL. And that just shows you that the KHL is not a top league. It's up there, but it's not nowhere near the level of the NHL. And so, you know, I think the best thing for this kid would have been to have come over to the NHL 2 years ago, but it sounded like he was promised, you know, at least the opportunity to play for Russia in the Olympics. And now, you know, well, he's not the only one that isn't getting the opportunity. Former Capital and current Hurricane Alexander Semin is also not on the team, oddly enough, although he hasn't had the best of seasons either, I guess. But, you know, you kind of feel for him and not getting that opportunity. But, you know, if anything, maybe this will get him fired up and ready to play even better the rest of his season there and to come over to the NHL even sooner.
You know what? I'm excited to see what this does for him. From what I've read about Kuznetsov over in Russia, he hasn't had the greatest season. He's been injured and everything like that. But hopefully this is motivation for him. If this is the way that the town's kind of going to treat him where he plays, I mean, I read somewhere that it's a big thing in Russia to whistle at a player instead of booing them. Like, booing is a big thing here in America. Over in Russia, they whistle when they aren't happy with you, and he's been getting a lot of people whistling at him as he's playing. So maybe this is just his way of kind of going, yeah, all right, it's time for me to get out of here. It's time for me to go, you know, over to the U.S., see what I can do over there, bring something to the Capitals team. So hopefully this is more motivation, at least for him to at least, you know, do what he has to do over there, get it done, get over here, and then prove himself here. And who knows, maybe 4 years down the road, he'll be able to make the team again. But yeah, I just thought it sucked. I felt bad for him that he stayed over there for two more years, you know, made a couple million dollars, saw a poor guy, and then didn't get to go to the Olympics. But anyway, hey man, we're going to be covering the Olympics in like what? Less than a month now.
I think we have about a month. Well, right about a month, I think, until the Olympics start.
Yeah, so that's going to be some fun stuff to talk about. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the Olympics. It's going to be a good time. So anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, well, that's great. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit about the Baltimore Sports Report, and then we're going to come back with Brendan Sheridan from CapsHill.com, and we're going to talk to him about his Capitals website and all the kind of crazy stuff he does for the Washington Capitals. So we will be right back.
What the Puck? What the Puck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, welcome back to What the Puck. Joining us on Skype, we're high tech here. We got three people on Skype now. We've got Brendan Sheridan from CapsHill.com. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you guys?
We are doing good.
How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good. Coach Dan, he's still around with us as well. Coach Dan, you're still doing okay, right? You're not getting a call for anything like that?
Skype hasn't kicked me out of here yet, so I'm doing good.
All right, good. So, Brendan, you have this website, CapsHill.com. Did you grow up with the Capitals? What was your first kind of big-time, you know, hockey moment for you?
Yeah, I did grow up with the Capitals. It was over at the USA Arena. I do remember pretty much the first time going. It ended up being some free tickets. I played a little rec ball back in the day, and the coach had some free tickets to the Caps, and ended up taking them up on it when I was in fifth grade, and ended up getting to see the Caps, you know, live. And 20 rows back, seeing the glass getting hit by these guys, you know, and I feel like that was a golden era in the past 20 years for the Caps, is during the 90s. Of course, there's a little sooner than that, but growing up being, you know, in the seat at USA Arena was a good time for me, and that's pretty much where I picked up. And then seeing Kolzig between the pipes was also helped. The whole Godzilla moniker that he kind of carried was pretty attractive to a kid like myself, and kind of went from there.
You see, my first experience as a Caps fan, since I am from Baltimore, you know, I still live in Baltimore. Hockey teams, they kind of, we had the Skipjacks, and I grew up with the Bandits, and they were only here for about two seasons, so I didn't always have hockey kind of in my life or whatever, but I was always a huge wrestling fan. I grew up, you know, with Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart and everything, and I went up to Hartford, Connecticut for WrestleMania 11, and they absolutely, that's all they cared about was the Whalers. They love the Whalers. So I was like, wow, look, this I don't even have hockey in my town. This is all they have, and they're absolutely in love with this team. So I got to see the Capitals up against the Hartford Whalers right after WrestleMania 11. I think it was at Landover at the USA Arena. So the first time seeing the Capitals, I wasn't there particularly to see the Capitals. I was there to see kind of like what the Whalers look like, but I've always been a huge fan of hockey. I've absolutely loved the sport. And then once Ovechkin came to town, I mean, I got really excited, because here's this guy who, you know, is scoring on his back and he's showing all this flair and everything. And he kind of has a little bit of wrestling, I think, in him as well, because he's kind of got like that showman that a lot of people enjoy seeing. So, I mean, that's always kind of been my thing. But you started up a website, CapsHill.com, and you do a lot of great work there. We've talked about it on the show, some of the graphics that you've made for the upcoming Winter Classic. What made you start this website, and have you always been kind of a graphic designer? Or do you hear something about the Winter Classic and you're like, this is how I want to envision it? Like, is that what made you want to do it?
Well, this is kind of my second go at having a website out in the Caps community. Started with Hockey Shopped, and then of course I started a hockey site 2 months before the lockout. So of course, great timing, right? And so, you know, that started up with Hockey Shopped, and then, you know, personal life type of things, job promotions here and there. I'm not able to get pulled away from doing my daily stuff as much back then, so I kind of had to hit the reset button, dig into a few resources, a few friends that I have over at the Nationals. It's called Nats Archive. Bunch of cool people that do a lot of photoshopping, really, really fun people to work with. So kind of threw the idea towards their way, kind of almost like a revamp or a reset of my vision of having a photoshopping GIF wacky kind of site. You know, since I feel like the landscape of the Caps community definitely does need, you know, could use another one. Why not? You know, the Caps community is definitely receptive to a lot of the wonky things that happen with the Caps and, you know, the goings on of the Capitals. And I don't know, I wanted to give it a go and, learn how to do website design. And, I had the Photoshop stuff down. I went to college for graphic design, but, the website stuff, I kind of got, shortlisted, or, you know, I got, the short end of the stick. Had a contract at a class, learned HTML, basically not learning anything. It's more of a credit thing than, yeah, actually learning the damn thing. So wanted to learn it, and yeah, that's kind of how it started. You know, Capitals Hill is something that really kind of started off of Twitter 2 years ago through the Hockey Shop thing, and we have a really, really strong, I feel like, a strong presence on Twitter and Facebook, and I wanted to kind of make it more of a serious website. So
that's very cool. What do you feel like has been, yeah, what's been your most popular post, do you think, on Caps Hill or even on social media with your Photoshop skills? What's gotten you the most, I guess, maybe the most laughs, I guess, with Photoshop?
Well, most laughs. We did a thing in the summer where we photoshopped hair on a Pierre Maguire's head, and we had a few styles. We had like the Kate from Kate Plus Eight, kind of like the mom hairdo, and then right. We had like a Katy Perry hairdo. I don't know, it made us laugh. I don't know, whatever kind of makes us laugh is what we're gonna put out.
That's the best way to do it. That's Coach Dan and I. That's the reason we started the podcast. We're like, hey, we like to talk in Capitals. Might as well record it and put it out there.
Yeah, and you know, I definitely pull influences from South Park, and there's a little documentary of about 6 days of air, and they kind of go through that whole idea generation, and that's kind of how we do things. We kind of just spitball on emails and say what's What's an idea out there? You know, like, you know, one idea could be, all right, you know, the team is doing really crappy. They did a team meeting. What do you think they're talking about? And then Chimera's, you know, he said, screw the meeting. He's getting on the karaoke machine or whatever. You know, we're trying to like just keep it light. And, you know, take the seriousness away that, you know, other sites do provide. And they do a great job. But, you know, having another place to kind of do that is what we're doing.
Between the three goalies that are here right now, if you were to Photoshop like a Three's Company TV poster, who do you think would play John Ritter in the three goalies we have?
Oh, man, I wanted to do that so bad, but I personally have freaked a lot of people out with putting heads on people's bodies and saying, oh, man, that's so effing weird. Because, you know, you have, you know, John Ritter, then you have the two ladies. You know, who are the two ladies going to be? And it'd be funny to see, like, you know, Susan Summers' body with a Braden Holtby head with, like, the grizzled look. And that would be pretty funny. I mean, I would say... Well, you would have to do Grubauer right now. Mm-hmm. He seems to be the golden child of the week, of the month. Yeah, Ritter being the leader of the bunch, it'd be Grubauer.
Please tell me you're going to do this.
I can do it after this call, man. I will do it.
Okay, good. That's awesome.
Yeah, we did a hangover rendition of the, you know, the three best friends that anyone can have. And they're all stuck in an elevator, and you know, you have the guys kind of like trapped in the elevator. They don't know where they're at. So that we did do that, which is a little bit safe, but no, having the South Park influence, having kind of like you go a little further with an idea and just having people react to it, but then they're going to laugh anyways. That's a good comedian, I think, kind of vibe to it. So yeah, I will definitely do that after this podcast.
Very cool, man. All right, so Coach Dan, I know you got a couple questions for Brendan here, so fire away.
I got a couple of Caps questions for you, more specific hockey things, I guess. So right now this team is clearly having some issues with giving up goals right after they score a goal themselves. What are your thoughts on that, and why do you think that is a problem that this team has?
I would say Exhibit A is they could be playing down to teams that they end up scoring on. You know, one of the most recent games with the Carolina at home in D.C. where they got trounced upon, and you have some of the players after the game saying that, oh, yeah, I think we played down to Carolina. I think there's no kind of game plan, and this is just me kind of being a GM on the couch, so to say. You know, a team that scores two goals and then ends up losing the game, it sounds like there's no game plan after they score those goals. You know, there's no kind of protection of the lead. Of course, there's just no kind of game plan. Of course, the other team is going to be making adjustments. I mean, look at the Anaheim game. Caps are rolling, looking really good. Anaheim comes from behind and ends up, you know, winning in the end. So I think there seems to be no focus on kind of the grit that needs to accompany scoring and leading a game. That's pretty much where I'm at with it right now. I haven't really dove into any of the articles that have kind of talked about this. I know there's one on Jaber's Rink. I just saw that came out yesterday, but that's kind of just my emotional by watching the game take on it.
Okay. I don't know,
what do you guys think?
I mean, I put it back on the coaching staff to some extent and not getting these guys prepared enough and keeping them motivated. And it sounds stupid to how you're going to, you know, that the fact that these guys play a game for a living and need to be motivated. But, you know, I feel like if I was out there, I'd be, you know, busting my, you know what, every day of the week, just because I'd be having so much fun. And it seems to be that, you know, Ovechkin, a lot of these guys have fun. But, you know, I question their focus in every game. If they get up a goal and they're like, yeah, we did it. Oh, wait, the other team just scored. Maybe we should have paid a little better attention. That's my view on it.
Yeah, it's a concentration on the grit that actually got them that goal that they end up kind of losing because they're on a high of scoring. That could be translating into the support role that, you know, leads to them kind of sitting on their butts and then having the other team score. So, I don't know, just mental focus seems to be always an ongoing headline or ongoing talking point with this team. Not even just this season, but, you know, of course, in the playoffs, it's always that whole punchline us Caps fans have to deal with other other sports fans. So, yep.
Yeah, I'm really sick of hearing people say Capitals all the time in the playoffs. I just can't stand that. All right, well, Brendan, I think that's pretty much it for our little segment tonight. So, just tell me again where can people follow you on social media, and tell us a little bit more about CapsHill.com. What kind of stuff do you do? Stories and other Photoshop stuff as well. Where have people seen your work displayed before?
Well, on Twitter, you can find us at Capitals Hill. At Capitals Hill. You may also see this through Japers Rink, which a lot of Capitals fans do follow. I do make GIFs for them, GIFs, so to say. On Facebook, it is facebook.com/, I think it's Caps Hill. This is bad. I need to know this. Yeah, it's /Caps Hill. And our website is capshill.com. The type of stuff that we do and that we put out, you know, as we're kind of in our freshman year of running Capitals Hill, we are still kind of testing the waters out, seeing what type of content we can put out. But the content that we do put out is very almost like Onion-esque, so like Onion.com kind of stories that are definitely made up but provide a laugh. On the Twitter account, we do provide that, as well as Photoshops and GIFs that happen that we like to have happen during the games live. So yeah, we're kind of think of Caps Hill as a creative Capitals blog that likes to make people laugh.
That's great, man. That's the best thing too. I mean, if you're just going to be a blog that's going to bash the team that you're watching, I never enjoy seeing that. I mean, you got to be able to laugh and you got to be able to have a good time while you're enjoying the team that you enjoy watching and the sport that you like watching. So I absolutely love that you're adding a little bit of comedy to the team, because I mean, some of the gifts you've made, even of, you know, recently, of like Troy Brower and stuff, I mean, those have just been cracking me up. But I love being able to laugh at the team that I'm watching. So and in a good way too, not just being like, geez, these guys are terrible, I can't believe I'm watching this, but to actually see funny stuff added to a team that you're trying to take seriously, I mean, it lightens the mood and everything. So I think you're doing great work, man, so definitely keep it up.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so where else you, I mean, we were talking a little bit before we started the interview, but you've actually gotten some pretty good play with some of the stuff that you've made. You said you were on like Tosh.0 and stuff. Where else have people seen your stuff?
In the hockey community, you can definitely see our stuff come up on Puck Daddy, as well as a lot of the reporters as of recently from like Hockey Night in Canada have picked our stuff up. 25 Stanley. .com, which is a really big French-Canadian blog up in Canada, has kind of come to us and come to me to make GIFs for Team Canada, which was very it was bittersweet, let's just say. So come the Olympics, I'm going to be doing GIFs for Team USA, just more of a I'm going to want to do them because I don't see those being done anywhere else. So what I do is I do game recaps and GIFs. I do that for every Caps game, and I'm going to try to do that for every Team USA game.
Awesome.
So, yeah, and you know, with this last video that I was able to put out, I got permission from the guy that actually shot the video. It involves a kid hitting a piece of glass. You know, he's charging a guy against the boards. His face hits the glass because the kid that notices the other kid coming at him moves out of the way just in the nick of time,
right,
for the guy to smack into it. So that has gotten viral within the last 2 days, which is insane. And our names being mentioned out there. So I would say we're getting our name out there. And you know, I can only ask for the Caps community support and to definitely be active with us, because you know, all the ideas like Three's Company, I'm going to take that and I'm going to make a Photoshop, and everyone's going to enjoy that, you know, in the community. So definitely appreciate that. And, you know, we can only grow together.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us here on What the Puck, man. This has been Brendan Sheridan from Capsill.com. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brendan. Appreciate it.
All right, so everybody stay tuned here. We're going to go up 83, and we're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, well, thank you, Brendan, for joining us once again. Make sure you go check out CapsHill.com whenever you get a chance. But right now, we're up 83. We're talking Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Coach Dan, what's going on with the Hershey Bears?
Well, since we last talked, the Bears have gone 4-4. They currently sit at 4th in the East Division and 10th in the Eastern Conference with a record of 15-12-6. Now, I'd like to tell you how Reading has done, but they don't update their website schedule with wins or losses per game. So I would have to go back through the last few weeks per game and screw that noise. So I'll just tell you how they're doing in the standings. Reading is currently sitting at 2nd in the Atlantic Division at 15-12-11. Now, oddly enough, there are only 3 teams in their division, while the other 4 divisions have 4 or 5. They currently sit at 9th out of 13 teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, the Western Conference has 9 teams. So, to summarize the ECHL, when this is hard enough to do as it is, they have five divisions, one of which has only 3 teams, and 2 wildly uneven conferences. How that makes sense? Not a damn clue.
Okay.
ECHL, ladies and gentlemen, no clue how any of that makes sense. 5 divisions, 3 of them have 5 teams, 1 has 4, 1 has 3. Okay, whatever. And 2 divisions that – I'm sorry, 2 conferences, 1 has 9, 1 has 13. I get its locations, but whatever. Like, that just makes no damn sense. And somebody update Reading's Reading.
Oh, yeah. Reading. That's another thing I wanted to bring up real quick. I got confirmation because you and I have always kind of argued, is it Reading? Is it Reading or whatever?
Yeah, what is it?
It is Reading. It is Reading Royals.
Did I say Reading or Reading earlier?
You said Reading.
Okay, good.
I'm going to keep this in the show because I wanted to tell you, before the Hershey Bears game, my friends and I, we went to this winery that's right off of the main Hershey Road, and there was a guy there who was actually doing magic for us at the table as we were doing the wine tasting. It was really cool. And I was like, all right, so you're from around here. And he goes, yeah, I'm from around here. And I'm like, all right, you need to let me know. I need to know from a guy that lives around here. Is it Reading or Reading? And he goes, oh, no. It's like the color. It's Reading. And I'm like, thank you. Okay.
Well, then they need to respell the city name so there's no A in it so I don't get confused. Okay? Somebody up there, hook me up. Help me out. Okay, but seriously, your website, fix it because this whole schedule thing, it used to be fine and it would update as they went along. Now they don't do that and it's freaking infuriating to go back through. Somebody fix that. But yeah, currently both teams are struggling a little bit, but, you know, they're they'll have an opportunity to get back in the playoffs, hopefully, if they can go on a little bit of a winning streak. That's what's going on in Pennsylvania.
Well, let me tell you real quick. As I was at the Hershey Bears game, that team definitely looks like it's got its struggles. I don't know if it's a lot of new Bears this year, but it's a lot of guys who it seems like they're just starting to get their pro legs. So hopefully they'll be able to do what they have to do in the AHL. But yeah, definitely a team that looks like they were struggling. And I actually got to hang out at the Booster Club a little bit before the game, and they had a Stan Gleave autographed puck that I got. So I was happy about that. And they're like, wow, that's our last one. He's really popular tonight. So that was really cool. And then for Christmas, you're going to love this. I got a Christmas gift of a ugly sweater Reading Royals t-shirt. Not a jersey, but an ugly sweater Reading Royals t-shirt for Christmas.
Why? Terrible. That's why both teams are struggling, because they have those ugly jerseys.
Well, I actually got to see them in person. 2 people at the Hershey Bears game had the Reading Royals ugly jerseys from that night.
Are they as hideous as I've said?
They are not that pretty, but as far as an ugly sweater goes, they're pretty standard. I mean, you put some reindeer and some red and green, and then you're pretty much done. Like, people need to get creative. Like, they need to have, like, you know, Bigfoot or something on them next time. That would be something that would be kind of cool.
Terrible.
Or a Krampus or
terrible,
something.
Terrible, terrible,
terrible. All right, so that's pretty much it for Up 83. So let's go around the NHL. All right, so since last we talked, we had a crazy Winter Classic game, something that was one for the ages, and plenty of other stuff going on, as always, in the NHL. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Real quick, to go back into the Winter Classic, that really was a lot of fun to watch, and I'm very excited to see the game played here in D.C. next year. Hopefully, for anybody who may be attending the game, hopefully I have an opportunity to get a ticket, but not if it's as ridiculously expensive as I'm expecting it to be. Hopefully it won't be during another polar vortex thing, because that would suck so much. Although apparently they're having the same issues there at the time. So, but yeah, that was definitely really exciting to see. But getting in some NHL news, I got a little bit. The Buffalo Sabres are reportedly close to hiring Tim Murray as their new general manager. He is currently the assistant GM with the Ottawa Senators. Toronto signed their captain Dion Phaneuf to a 7-year extension worth a total of $7 million per season. That is a lot of money for Phaneuf. Speaking of Toronto, they acquired Tim Gleason during the Winter Classic from Carolina for John Michael Lyles and Dennis Robertson. I don't know if you saw the clip during the Winter Classic of Lyles. He actually went out and did the warm-up skate and then was told he was traded.
Poor guy.
So that kind of, I don't know if he was actually going to get a jersey that and play that day, but that's if he was, that's got to be a huge bummer for him. But he certainly gets to go to somewhere that has a little bit better weather in Carolina. Anaheim signed Andrew Cogliano to a 4-year extension worth a reported total of $12 million. And the New York Rangers acquired super goon Dan Carcillo from the LA Kings for a 7th-round pick. That's all of the interesting NHL news from the past couple of weeks.
I don't know if you got to see it on HBO 24/7, but yeah, when he found out that he was getting traded to Carolina, you could tell, like, I mean, he was excited. He was you know, still playing hockey or whatever, but you could kind of tell the wind was kind of taken out of his sails, that he was looking forward to that game. But it was kind of a normal hockey thing. He was like, yeah, I'm bummed, but I need to get on a plane and go to Washington because that's where our next game is, because now I'm a Hurricane. So you just kind of got to roll with it sometimes. But, yeah, definitely felt for him during that time, because that definitely, I mean, the Winter Classic, yeah, it's the Winter Classic, you know, January 1st once a year. I firmly believe that this was the year the NHL took away, you know, college bowl games as what you watch on New Year's Day. I definitely feel as if the Winter Classic is what people are going to start watching from now on, because that was a spectacle. I don't care if you don't watch hockey or not. That many people in that stadium with the snow and you know, just everybody, the way everybody looked. I mean, with the you know, well, I forget what player it was, but he did like the tiger stripes on his face with the eye black. I mean,
shoot. I know who it was too. Damn it, I can't remember at the moment. But yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
but you just know someone on the Caps. Like if Matt Bradley was still here, he would have done something ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, this is definitely a spectacle, and it's great to see every year. And yeah, this year was a great experience as a hockey fan. So great times on New Year's Day. Absolutely loved it. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. Let's go over our schedule here until the next time we talk. Thursday, January 9th, the Capitals are in Tampa Bay against the Lightning. That game is at 7:30, and it will be on Comcast Sportsnet locally, the NHL Network nationally. Friday, January 10th, back-to-back games here. We got the Capitals back at home. They're up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be at Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Locally here, just locally. Sunday, January 12th, the Sabres are coming to town, coming to the phone booth up against the Capitals. That game is at 3 o'clock. That game is another national game, the NHL Network and Comcast Sportsnet locally. Tuesday, January 14th, the Capitals staying in D.C. San Jose is coming across all the way to the East Coast. The Sharks are coming to town. 7 o'clock start, Comcast Sportsnet. And then Wednesday, January 15th, Capitals Penguins, here they come again. 8 o'clock start. That is going to be Wednesday night rivalry on the NBC Sports Network. So, man, lots of games. What is that? 1, 2, 3. Is that 5 games in the next week? Man, they definitely got a tough schedule coming up this month. So, ending it up, I mean, next week up against the Penguins. Here they are leading the Metropolitan Division. Last time it was the Cavs Penguins on Wednesday night rivalry, it did not fare well for the Capitals. And especially what we talked about earlier this episode, what are they going to do differently against a team that's such a powerhouse like the Penguins?
Well, they could actually play well. That'd be a nice change of pace than last time when they played against the Penguins, because they played terrible. And they you know, they've had two opportunities to play on these Wednesday night games, and they played like a bunch of crap on both of those games. So, you know, they have a bunch of games ahead of them. The biggest thing right now is to not get ahead of themselves and start looking at that Penguins game. They've got, you know, three winnable games. I mean, Tampa Bay is having a really good season. They're second in the Atlantic Division, and you know, but they have an opportunity to beat them. They could, I truly think they could beat Toronto. They should be able to beat Buffalo. You know, the Sabres are, I don't know, easily one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the NHL this season. So they had, you know, over the next five games, they should be able to go 3-2, or it'd be great to see them go 4-1, get back on a winning streak, because a team is never as bad as they look when they're losing, and they're never as good as they look when they're winning. They're somewhere, you know, in the middle. So I'd like to see them get back on a winning streak. I think getting some back-to-back wins versus Tampa and at home against Toronto, they should be able to win on Sunday. You know, these are important. Get on a nice three-game winning streak going into two tough games against San Jose and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. So plenty of games to watch coming up. Make sure you tune in. If you want to talk about those games, want to talk to us before Coach Dan and I talk again, make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Make sure you follow What the Puck on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that title. You'll get information about the Capitals, about these shows, any future shows. We got some stuff planned for 2014, so make sure you are staying tuned. We're going to have some fun stuff planned for you coming up. Follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. That way you get information on Twitter and Facebook as well. We do this show completely for free. We give it to you absolutely free. There's plenty of ways you can listen to the show, so let people know about it. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher Radio. We are on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Our buddy on CapsHill.com is also going to be posting a few of our episodes there as well. So make sure you're social with the show. Let people know online where they can listen to it. Let them know you're a Caps fan and that they should be listening as well. So be social. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. And I don't even care. Be professional and tell people on LinkedIn that you're a Caps fan. They should listen to a show called What the Puck. It might affect your resume. It might not, but at least you're telling people about the show. So until next time, we got plenty of games to watch. You got to wear your red every time that playing. So we'll talk to you guys next week, and let's go Caps.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Where'd you go? Hold on.
Weeks ago, something like that.
You disappeared. Where'd you go?
I have gone nowhere. I'm a ghost.
All right.
I'm a ghost in the machine.
I heard you say since we last talked, but it was like since we talked.
All right, let's do it again.
All right.